It's Monday, January 31st, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. We've got a great show lined up for you. And no, it's not snowing here in Honolulu, but I know most of you in the eastern part of the United States get ready for put your snowshoes on, but I'm going to be headed your way soon, so you may end up getting the last lap. You know what comes next? Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
Go flight.
Music bed.
Go flight.
Microphone.
Go flight.
Video feed.
Go flight.
Web browser.
Go flight.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go flight.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Whispering confirmed.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show, and make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcasts available via the podcast link, the special media file link that's at the top of the website as well. Lots of great content for you to get subscribed to. You know, subscribing to the show guarantees that you will never, ever miss a single episode. So when you're over at geeknewscentral.com, all you really got to do is look at the second column of the website. There's a little orange box there that says subscribe. You can subscribe either to the audio or video podcasts. Of course, if you want to get subscribed to our special media feed, that's where we're choking and throwing about 100 other videos down the pipe at you over the next 5 days or so. And of course, the Morning Tech Show is alive and well. A two-parter this weekend we did. The audio feed for that's alive as well for those of you that were missing the audio feed. But boy, oh boy, lots to talk about tonight. And of course, if you're a new listener to the show, I want to welcome you to the Geek News Central podcast, recorded every Monday and Thursday night and then made available Tuesday and Friday morning for your listening or viewing pleasure. This Thursday, though, no show. I'm going to be jumping on an airplane and heading to the very windy city and snowbound city that is about to get dumped on here in the next 24 hours, if it hasn't already started already. But I'll be heading out to Chicago. I'll be there for the weekend, and then I'll be coming back here to Honolulu on Monday, and we'll be back live here in the studio Monday evening. One of the most important things is get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about during the show. You'll get an email blast with all of the links in it. So get subscribed to the newsletter. That's how you're going to stay informed when there's a new show up and what we've talked about. Of course, if you're watching us on Ustream tonight or over on Justin.tv, welcome to the show. And for those of you on Justin, I must make an apology. I had you on the last show plugged in on two wrong jacks. I mean, you were getting hammered by the audio feed. So I've got that fixed for you, and you're good on Justin tonight. If you're watching the show post-show on Roku or Boxy, or even on the iPad or portable media device, again, hey, it's a great way in many ways to consume the content. And we're going to be on some new BlackBerry products here soon as well. So look forward to having that available. If you've got comments about tonight's show, you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And we take care of all listener comments at the very end of the show. We'll go through all of those. And of course, if you want to call our action hotline or the voicemail hotline, you can do that 24/7 by calling 619-342-7365. For those of you overseas, plus 1-619-342-7365. Voicemail hotline's been kind of quiet over here over the last month, and don't quite know what to think of that. Emails continue to roll in, but feel free to blast away on the voicemail hotline. It's appreciated when you do. Leaving comments about the show. I want to, of course, this is the last show of the month, and I want to thank all of our sponsors for continuing to supporting us here at Geek News Central. Really, the support of the sponsors keep the lights on here in the studio, keep my family fed, keep my house payment under control, and it's greatly appreciated, the support of all the sponsors. Of course, one of those being GoDaddy.com. If you're looking for a domain name, you really want to consider getting over to GoDaddy.com because they've got great products for you. You know, domain names starting as low as $7.49. Of course, if you're using one of my promo codes like CES25, you save 25% on your first order as a brand new customer. Todd will save you 10%. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Lots of great products over at GoDaddy. Anything that you need to get you online, GoDaddy's a place to go. And here's the important part. When you pick up a product and service, you're supporting the show here. And find all my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That'll get you a list of all of the great codes that you can use when you're over there getting ready to renew or buy a service. Now, one thing I want to talk about is prior to the last show, I knew there was an update coming out for the TriCaster. And I actually, ought to bring up a link for you if I can get to it quick enough. What's going to happen here is that I have ordered a new control surface for the show. It is an unbelievable, and let me bring up the control surface picture. I'm going to show this to you guys. Actually, let me bring up the camera one first, and let me just show those of you that are watching. This is the control surface that I have right now. Very, you know, it's pretty straightforward. It has a few features that allow me to do, you know, switch cameras in and out as needed, live. But what's going to happen here in a few weeks is we're going to get a new control surface that looks a little bit like this. And it's essentially the six row monstrosity, if that's such a word, that's 28 inches wide by 11 inches deep. And this thing intimidates me just a little bit. But anticipation of that box's delivery, the folks at NewTek rolled out a brand new update for the TriCaster. And what it has done is there are certain things I can do real easy. Like, you know, basically I can swap out video sources, no problem, back and forth. But I used to be able to use this fade all button to be able to fade the graphic. And it doesn't work quite the way I want it to work anymore, just because of the new way that it's got set up. But I think now that we're basically getting ready to go into the content, I think I'll be safe to do this. I think if I do a fade all now, let me see if I actually got this set up right. Is when I hit this, yes, it brings out, it takes out the lower third. So it's extra couple of steps that until the new surface gets here, I won't be able to do with one finger. And so, you know, the upgrade's nice. We got a lot of new cool features, but and it's really going to make it pop when we get the new surface in, because I'm going to be able to go green screen and do all kinds of cool stuff green screen with you, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to take really kind of the show to the next level, and if nothing else, make it entertaining for you guys to watch and see how much I can jack the show up. But hey, it is what it is. But for those of you listening, I know you don't care. But I just wanted to share for the audience that is viewing, which continues to grow show after show. All right. So anyway, headed to Chicago and looking forward to freezing my tail off. Not. But I had to mention that I've really been just unbelievably behind. I mean, to the point of, you know, it really got out of control. So I begged forgiveness of my wife and said, honey, I need to basically bury myself for the next 3 or 4 days and get a bunch of work done. And worked all the way through Sunday evening late and cleared my slate. Cleared it and really got caught up. And so now I owe Mama big, because some of her honey-do lists did not get done. And so she, you know, she's tapping that list and you say, okay, honey, you know, it's getting longer. You're going to have to dedicate some time to me. And me going to Chicago this weekend's not helping. So, fellas, just pray I stay out of the, out of the doghouse by the time I get back. But lots of great content that's been coming up on TPN.TV. And if you haven't been over there, definitely check that out. That's where all our team members are posting content from CES. And we're really going to be on our last push here over the next 4 or 5 days. But one thing I want to show your attention to is we've got the photo stream up there. There's about 2,000 images from the show that are available in our Flickr stream. So I've got that up. If you want to take a look at that, you can. I had it up on Geek News Central for a few days. But just a few articles that are a few interviews that are up. USB 3.0, talking about iMovie, talking about a product called Sifto, some stuff from Taser, some cool stuff about a Bluetooth watch from Casio, Fanning Wang headphones, and so forth. So there's a bunch of stuff up there new for you to check out, and we'll continue to feed that to you. Of course, all of our CES coverage would not have been possible without our sponsor, Luxor. And I want to make sure you you get to the point and check out Luxor Las Vegas. It is an absolutely great hotel to stay at, and it's really great savings because you can get over there and the room started about $40. So you can click on the link on Geek News Central, or you can click on the link at TPN.TV. It's both linked to the same drop page at the Luxor Hotel. And on your next trip to Vegas, make reservations at Luxor, and we would definitely appreciate it. It makes us look good to them, and they will definitely be hoping inviting us back and saving us a buttload of money on our hotel stay for CES 2012. So thanks for Luxor being a sponsor here. Okay, let me talk just a little bit about what's been going on really here in show development. I have to follow up yet on with a couple of our Ohana that want to start shows here. And that is really now that I've gotten completely caught up on my backlog is at the top of my to-do list. And procrastination is enough. And I want to get these shows launched here in the next couple of weeks. So I'll look forward to making an announcement there. If you tune in on Saturday for our morning tech show, we were an hour and 45 minutes, I believe, for that show. And we covered a lot of ground and talked about a lot of cool stuff. So if you're subscribed to the morning show feed, you'll definitely want to be prepared for a double header for two particular, the audios in one file and the videos in two. But you really, this show that we did on Saturday really is, you'll see all the video stuff is going to be really where it's at from being able to get an idea on what we're really talking about. So we want to thank Annie McCaskey from SDR News, and of course we thank Rob Greenlee from Zune and coming in and offering their commentary as well. Really asking these guys to take an hour and a half or an hour and 45 minutes every couple of weeks with me on a Saturday morning is a lot. I want to thank them and make sure you definitely check out Andy's site at SDRnews.com. And of course he's got a new adventure too. If you're an RV, considering buying an RV or have an RV, RVNN.TV is the RV news network that Andy has launched. And good luck with Andy and his shows, set of shows over there. And I think they've got 12 or 13. Actually, you know what? It helps if I bring back the right graphic. Thank Andy for just check Andy's site out and check out his new offerings as well. Okay, what else have I got in my list here? I think that's it. And just stuff that I wanted to yak about. Got a full list of stuff for you tonight. And before we get into content, of course, last sponsor, check out Audible at audiblepodcast.com/CES. Get a free book on me. And really, I've been enjoying the suggested books that I've been recommended by audience members here. If you've been, if you're already subscribed to Audible and you've got a book that you're listening to or recently listened to that you like, definitely send that over as a recommendation for the audience. I'll share it with the audience. But the best thing here about this deal is you get a free book, one free book, you know, whatever you want, pick out the most expensive one, whatever you want, and get it on me at audiblepodcast.com/CES. Another one of our sponsors again for the 2011 CES. And they really made things happen. Our bandwidth and all the stuff that was required to really put the show together would not have been possible without their support. All right, let me go ahead here and get into the content. Again, I'm looking at a map today of weather.com and looking at this just massive storm that's encompassing literally half of the United States. Oh, my goodness. And hopefully you guys will be dug out before I head your way. But they say this is a monster of all storms. So we'll see if it lives up to the weatherman's expectations over the next a few days here. Let's go into talk about a site over at lifehacker.com. And there's a new app out that I thought was pretty cool. It's called iPhone Explorer. And what this does is that you can use iPhone Explorer to back up third-party iOS applications without iTunes. So this is a free desktop application that allows users to export and back up data from their, again, from their application without iTunes. And this is kind of cool. I like this little app. I played with it a little bit. So definitely check it out. I have the link up in the show notes, of course, to lifehacker.com. And you guys can download and play with this as well. Sometimes iTunes gets a little extreme in some of the things that it does. Now, just recently, everyone's been sending me like links to like cool games and stuff that they're playing with their grandkids. And this one here, I haven't loaded it yet. But everyone's saying this is the one to pick up. And if you go over to downloadsquad.com, they've got a review of it. It's called Effing Meteorites. It's a cataclysmic world-destroying physics time waster. But watch some video on this, and this looks like a fun one. So it's Effing Meteorites, and it's a cataclysmic EFFING. I think if you just search for that in iTunes, you have no problem coming up with it. But this has gotten some fun reviews, and definitely a time waster for sure. You know, back when we first started doing new media, we played around a lot with BitTorrent. And for maybe a year or so, I actually had a private BitTorrent tracker that was set up to serve the media. But BitTorrent private virtual BitTorrent servers are now becoming quite the rage. And what's really even more interesting is that there's some very cool ones out there, like Seedbox is an application that you can use to set up a private BitTorrent server. But by setting up a VPS, which normally run through Linux, you'll have to learn how to use their console file for this. But there's lots of cool stuff going on the torrent front, being able to do private servers. And what I'm really excited about, I'm waiting for the folks to introduce this later this year, the video delivery via BitTorrent. And that in itself is pretty exciting to me. But if you want to share files and stuff with friends, you can always run, again, your own private BitTorrent server. Again, you know, use with caution, but great way to move some media around between a group of people that you know and trust. Over on GigaOm, Amazon is going to be offering a streaming service, and the rollout is going to include about 5,000 movies that if you pay about $80 a year for the Amazon Prime service, you're going to get access to as part of your subscription. So I don't know if this is Amazon's foray into trying to compete against Netflix. But we know that Amazon recently bought the European Netflix lookalike called Love Film. So we'll see. But this is supposedly going to launch. And it's going to be supposedly, again, added to your Amazon Prime account. And, you know, remember when Amazon Unboxed? And if you believe it or not, I don't even know if that's still a service or not. I haven't bought any videos from Amazon in a couple of years. But if any of you are Amazon Prime users, love to hear about the service more in detail. And then what do you think about the possibility of having a streaming service made available via that premium account? So I'd love to hear some feedback from all of you that have accounts over there with Amazon Prime. Another big thing in the news today, and of course it's making the news all over the place, is the the final distribution of the IPv4 IP numbers. Essentially, what has happened today is that several of the NICs have received their final block of IPv4 addresses. And essentially, this is it. This is the last blocks that are available. And now we're really at the point where IPv6 has to move forward. So we'll have to see how this plays out over the next couple of months and what kind of havoc it raised. I had a great interview with the folks at Aaron during CES that you should listen to or watch, and you'll find it on the website. This was pretty eye-opener for me. But luckily, most of us have phones and devices that are already IPv6 ready and have been for a while, with the exception maybe some stuff that you've had in your home for a while, like wireless routers and so forth, that may not be if you've had it more than a couple of years. So I have a link up to this in the show notes for you. You know, one thing I didn't hear about last week was Macworld, and or 2 weeks ago. And did anybody go? Did anybody go to Macworld? Because I received really no press releases. I received no feedback from Macworld. And so today I kind of went looking for some Macworld posts to find out, okay, what happened at Macworld? And apparently there was like 300 vendors, maybe, no, 250 vendors, and about 20,000 attendees. They said that the biggest booth at the show was the show that was the company that got in trouble with Apple earlier this year. And I'll actually show you one of their products. Hang on. HyperMac, they've got a great line of storage and accessories for the Mac line. And if you remember, HyperMac got in trouble with Microsoft for Apple by violating one of their patents for the quick disconnect power plug on all MacBooks. And they had the biggest booth. HyperMac had the biggest booth. But boy, oh boy, ever since Apple's pulled out, I guess, not a lot happened at Macworld. So if you went, earlier in the week and you've been there, anytime in the last 5 days or so, I'd love to hear your feedback on Macworld and what you saw and if you saw anything cool. How many of you have downloaded IE9? The IE9 installer has a handful of commands that can be used to help you get a better install or more limited install of IE9. And I have this link up in the show notes. I found this on a website called Within Windows. So thing I like about it is there's ways where you can do some administration type stuff. You can set it up so it doesn't force the computer to restart. And this is more probably for those of you in the IP space that are, deploying, or more IT space, excuse me, those of you that are deploying more, deploying Windows 9 to more than Windows Internet Explorer 9 to more than just a couple of computers. But generally not used by individuals, but there was a few things in here that I liked about it as well. But I have a link up there for you in the show notes. All right, today was the anniversary of Apollo 14 launch. And of course, this was 40 years ago today. Think about that. 40 years ago today, Apollo 14 launched on a Saturn V rocket. And it was the sixth human flight to the moon and the third that landed. And you think about the first men on the moon. You think about Apollo 13, but you don't hear too much anymore about the follow-on flights. And if you look at Apollo 14, there was an incident happened when they were on the moon. They were actually headed out to a crater to pick up some rocks in and around this one crater, and the astronauts actually kind of almost got lost. They were on one of those on the lunar rover. And I don't know how you could get lost because you just follow your tracks back. But recently, the recent images from the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter revealed that they were only about 30 yards from the crater's rim when they gave up the search. But they've got a whole bunch of stuff here. about that flight. And also there was some discussion about basically another anniversary where 50 years ago was the first flight where Alan Shepard did the suborbital Mercury flight on the MR2, the Mercury Redstone. So, of course, that had been preceded by a monkey having flown before man. But anyway, pretty cool stuff. And gosh, we've been doing this for a while, haven't we? Over on Universe Today, there's a pretty cool rendition done where a blogger put together an animation showing different planets in our solar system as they would appear in the sky if they shared the same orbit as our moon. And wait till you see this thing. It's pretty cool. It's to scale. I'll have it linked up in the show notes, and you can check it out. Space Shuttle Discovery's have been, once again, rolled out to the pad and for its February launch. So it's making the history, making the last trek. This is, of course, Discovery's last flight. And STS-133 is due to head upwards on February 24th at 4:50 p.m. Eastern. So just about 3 weeks away from now. So anyway, we'll see how this goes with this launch preparation. They've also got a pretty cool poster. And actually what I'm going to do with this is I'm going to print this out for my kids. And it's pretty long, so you're going to have to do this in segments. I'm going to print mine on a photo paper, and then I'm just going to kind of splice it together for them. But this is a top to bottom look of the space shuttle and all the different components, and what went into it, and how the crew compartment is, and everything that is associated with the shuttle, and how it looks, and inside. And this is a pretty cool, let me actually bring this up for those of you that are watching. I can show this to you how cool this is going to be to print for your kids or nothing else for yourself. And I must admit, this is, you know, I'm a geek, so I love this kind of stuff. And I think this would be a great, if they sold this, if space.com sold this whole thing, this would be kind of a cool thing to frame and have in a kid's room. So let me go ahead and bring it up on the screen here for you. So I'm just going to scroll this through, and you can see it. So again, it's the full rendition of the shuttle and what it looks like on the ground, in orbit, kind of a split open view from the flight deck. And the flight deck, you know, from a standard standpoint, she's looking pretty old. She is. You think how long the shuttle's been flying. And then the stack up for launch and a down-looking view. And just some pretty awesome stuff here. So anyway, I have this up in the show notes, and you can check it out. But this would make for a huge poster, probably 5 feet in length or something like that. But anyway, I'll have this link up in the show notes for you. Let's talk about a little more about what's going on in the security space. If you are an IT professional, you may want to look at your telnet ports. Turns out that hackers are increasingly using telnets for attacks and using port 23 to get in. And, you know, port 23, that was the port that hundreds and thousands of BBSs that were online, you could connect to. Remember when I had my, when I first started doing the show, those of you that don't remember, I had the BBSnets.com was up, and that BBS had run since, boy, I ran that website, started it back in Guam, when I lived in Guam many years ago. And just, you know, within the last 3 years, took it offline. It was a FidoNet-capable BBS. But port 23 was where everyone went to get in the system. And I had a, when I finally shut down, I think it was at 32 lines is what was capable. And, you know, that system took calls right up until the day I pulled the plug on it. And literally millions of people accessed that website over the probably 15 or 16 years that it was online. And some days I miss it. I do. But some things are better left non-resurrected. But port 23 is where hackers are headed. So if you're a security professional or IT professional, definitely take a look and make sure your port 23s are locked up, and at least the passwords to get into those accounts are have been remedied so that no one can get in. There's a good article over on GigaOM talking about the startup economy and basically what's happened with funding. And you would think that with the recession and everything that has went on, that an investment would have been down. But the only quarter two of 2010 was the only quarter that less than $730 million in a single quarter was invested. And I'm looking through the stages of investment. You know, there's the seed round, Series A, B, C, Series D, and Series E rounds. If you ever start up and you get to Series E, boy, oh boy, you've usually used a lot of cash. But it hasn't changed too much throughout the last couple of years. And the amount of money that venture capitalists and folks that actually do seed rounds are investing in. But I'm looking at the venture capital investment by state. And boy, oh boy, California continues just to be the winner here. Anywhere from 49, 52, really, they never had a month that was much less than about 50%, except for the quarter three of 2010, where Massachusetts had 49%. And I don't know why Massachusetts gets so much funding. I guess maybe it's a good state to incorporate in. But the top five states are California, Massachusetts, New York, Texas, and Washington. And then the other is really very small, about, about 20%. 20 to 25% of other states get the remaining amount of venture capital. But sectors that they invested in included mobile telecom, computer hardware services, software, energy, utilities, internet, and healthcare. And the internet got the majority of it, of course. But healthcare, man, oh man, on the climb in a big way, as you would expect, because of all the boomers that are getting ready to retire. But a pretty good graph, pretty good breakout on how investments were made in startup companies. For those of you that are Android fans, congratulations. Android has wrestled smartphone OS title from Symbian. And what they're showing right now by vendor, millions shipped in quarter four 2010. Google accounted for 33.3%, Nokia 31%, Apple 16.2%, RIM 14.6%, Microsoft 3.1%, and others were 3%, with obviously Android coming out on top, and Android is now the phone to beat. I consider it probably will be for a long time to come. And I found it interesting. I found an article that was buried away on Slashdot tonight that talked about how AT&T has basically figured out, because of their flat new in the fourth quarter, they only had 14%. New subscribers come up on the iPhone. And so Apple is at this point going to be heavily moving into the Android market as well. So that just tells you right there that the iPhone is no longer king. Now, don't get me wrong. According to some discussions, they are accounting for about 95% of the earnings that are coming through cell phones as far as advertising and app sales. So they're still kicking everybody's butt in the market of making cash. So that, you know, even though the percentage of people getting iPhones are smaller now, they're still making the majority of money in the mobile space. So it's an interesting move. Been watching the battle going back and forth between Robert Scoble and Quora, and boy, oh boy, it's been kind of been nasty here for the last 24 hours. That essentially, if you haven't been watching this discussion, it's basically Robert has basically thumbed his nose at those folks and is continuing to say, he's finally waking up and saying these closed architectures where people are investing a lot of time in, coming back to bite people in the butt when people get overzealous and start shutting down accounts. So I'm always saying, folks, if you're going to have something online, you have a presence online, and you want to maintain 100% ability to say what you want to say and where you're going to say it, you're going to have your own website. You just can't rely on a third-party service to be as forgiving as, well, you know, something that's on your own website. Dave Weiner has a good article talking about Deckly, D-E-C-K.L-Y. And what this is TweetDeck has announced this website called Deckly, which promises you to let you tweet more than 140 characters. And I went over to the website, and I just about threw up, in all honesty. It doesn't look that nice. It really doesn't. The color codes and stuff that they've set up is kind of funny, but if you are looking for more than 140 characters and Twitter doesn't, you know, if Twitter's cramping your style, you can definitely check out deck.ly by the folks, of course, again, from TweetDeck. Now, let's talk just a little bit about what happened in Egypt. You guys have seen all the news. You have heard everything about the shutdown, about the protest, and, you know, it's pretty obvious where this is headed. But, you know, you think about it now. They are still offline today. Today, Egypt shut down the last ISP. And what's really scary here is this specific ISP, and we were talking about this on the last show, this specific ISP is the one that allows communication with the Egyptian stock market and also support brands like Coca-Cola, ExxonMobil. So here you've got Egypt now that it was already isolated for the last 2 or 3 days, and now it's even more isolated because they have pulled a plug on the last ISP. Can you imagine being an investor in the Egyptian stock market? They have lost their minds. It was already bad enough, and it makes you really sit back and go, But they have effectively, you know, this is like committing suicide. This is you just watch to, and I don't know how many Egyptian companies were on their stock market, but no external investing is going to be able to be happening. And I don't know what's going on inside the country, if the stock market's been closed or what, but this does not does not bode well at all for Egyptian business, let alone the people that are protesting. So that's it. They are completely unplugged, and people are still connecting now via dial-up. They're going out with modems and stuff. So that's kind of their way to their connection to the outside world. But, you know, a modem's not going to support a stock market for sure. Let's talk just a little bit about, backing up here a little bit. There's a Google exec missing in Egypt. So one of the senior leaders there hasn't checked in, and it shouldn't be too surprising. How can he check in with the smartphones and the internet down? There may be no way for this guy to check in, but one of Google's main contacts there is MIA. One thing I found that was interesting was Al Jazeera was being king on basically all the Egyptian news, and everything coming out of Egypt was either coming from Al Jazeera or via satellite through CNN or Fox or one of those groups that were there with, they had satellite connectivity. But Al Jazeera did a real interesting thing. They made all of their Egyptian coverage available via Creative Commons. They basically said, okay, you can use it to your heart's content. And about the time they did that, the Egyptians pulled the Al Jazeera's license to broadcast out of Egypt, so basically shutting them down. And so this is pretty wild. Now they're kicking out the news companies. You know, so I don't know if any American news companies have been affected, but Al Jazeera has been unplugged as well. So. It was kind of cool that in the meantime, they made available all of this content via a Creative Commons license that was open and allowed people to use it. You may not be happy with some of the stuff they report on normal circumstances, but it is interesting to see where they went with this content. I'm always looking for cool stuff to help keep organized. You know, I have a very crowded studio here. Things are always stacked up on top of one another, and I can clean this room, and within about 2 hours, it doesn't look like it's been cleaned in months. And I found some what's called a power hub. It's basically a way to keep your cables pretty organized. And this is exactly what the doctor ordered for a space back here, where basically in the studio, I've got several computers, a bunch of drops back there, and this particular power hub definitely is going to come in handy. They're $24 each, and of course, I found these over on ubergizmo.com. Have a link in the show notes for you, but Power Hub is here to help, and I like anything that helps keep cables organized. And if you're one of those type of folks that's a neat freak, you don't want to come inside my studio and basically look underneath the tables. But reverence to my wife, I'm trying to make the studio a little more user friendly, I guess, for better words, or wife and visitor friendly. All right, Google Docs have been updated. If you're a Google Docs user, Google's Internet Office Suite Google Docs has been is receiving some new updates that's going to increase its functionality. This is going to be rolling out over the next few days, and Google's added new filters that allow you to look for documents much more easily, as well as an option called priority sorting. It works similar to the priority inbox in Gmail, and I like that because I'll be able to there are certain documents I'm in a lot, and I'll be able to put those at the top of the list because I'm always like, where the heck are these things in the stack? And along with some other document organization type stuff. And as many documents as I've got it in Google Docs, this is happening at a good time. So how many of you are finding yourself using Google Docs more and more? I know that I'm using mine a great deal, or I'm using Google Docs a great deal. A little more space news. A Japanese cargo spacecraft reached the International Space Station today. It's carrying several tons of supplies and equipment for the crew, and the station's arm reached out and grappled the spacecraft, and the crew used the arm to berth the module with Harmony about 3 hours later, and then the latches separating the station and spacecraft opened late this afternoon, and they're unloading the cargo. So about half of it's for NASA, and then what's going to happen is they're going to keep this the HTV docked at the station until late March, and then they're going to fill it full of trash and then punch it towards the Earth's atmosphere and burn up the trash. But they're going to unload 2,000 pounds worth of stuff and then load 2,000 pounds worth of trash. You just like, hey, go empty. It's not like you can go up to the dumpster, right? So instead, they use space vehicles. It's got to be the most expensive dumpsters in the universe. As well, they're busy at the International Space Station. A Progress cargo spacecraft docked as planned on Saturday. So they've been pretty busy there. Saturday docking, and then, of course, last Thursday with the HTV. So all kinds of goodies coming up to the International Space Station. How many of you have ever seen the WikiLeaks server area? There's a good article over on Wired. We may have had this link up before, but they've got a picture in Wired about the underground caverns in which the this particular internet service provider have all their servers. And it's kind of interesting because this is actually in a nuclear shelter. And theoretically, they say it will stand a nuclear impact. And it's protected by 24-hour video surveillance and a 2-foot-thick-inched armored door. It has a couple of V-12 diesel submarine engines to keep the power on when the power goes out. But it has recyclable water and all kinds of stuff. So anyway, this is a... it shows you this thing. It's... Look at this. It's pretty impressive. It really is. It looks like someone spent a lot of money to convert this bunker into a place where they would have basically servers for companies like WikiLeaks. Good article over on, again, another article on Wired talking about radar-toting robots are sniffing out drug tunnels. And you guys have heard, of course, in the past couple of years, there have been a lot of tunnels that have been dug between the U.S.-Mexico border. And if they're not catapulting drugs across the border, they're bringing them in through tunnels. So what the U.S. authorities are doing is they are basically putting sonar sensors. They're digging holes deep into the ground, and then they're putting a sonar sensor that's on a mechanical mover to basically listen for digging up close to the border. So this is kind of interesting in that they are actively now listening for folks that are actually digging underground to put tunnels through. So we'll see how effective this is going to be. But this is, you know, using current technology to, I don't know if they're using a seismograph or how there, it's some sort of sonar or whatever. But this is pretty cool stuff. It says this is a, this is an R&D system. Combines traditional radar used to find oil and gas deposits with the telecom industry's method of laying fiber optic cables. And they're doing horizontal boreholes. And it's an omnidirectional radar. So pretty cool stuff. There is a hormone in all humans that basically when it's excreted, it's called oxytocin, O-X-Y-T-O-C-I-N. It's basically a hormone that gets people to love and trust one another. And essentially it also helps people makes them nicer and more pleasant. But this hormone also has, they're finding now, an opposite reaction. It also amplifies the suspicious, you know, you get suspicious of somebody doing something, or a lover or a friend. This is the hormone that invokes that reaction. But what this new research is saying is that they had planned on using this hormone as a basically an injection through the, or a mist spray through the nose. And they had hoped to use this on folks that have autism, but they're a little bit concerned that this could amplify folks with personality disorders and could induce insecurity and have an opposite effect of what they're trying to achieve here. So I think they're relooking at possible treatments of folks with autism and stuff like that with this hormone. So I know there's a lot of people out there with autism. So if you have a family member that has that, you'll definitely want to check this out. All right, article over in Tech Dirt, just 100,000 people have been sued in mass copyright infringement suits since the start of 2010. So largely, and we've talked about this a little bit, largely the number of people being sued now are folks in the adult industry. Adult industry are going after people that are basically sharing porn. So over 100,000 people have been sued in John Doe suits, and most of those coming from the Fourth, the Fifth, and the Ninth Circuits. And I don't know which area those actually affect, but those are the court areas in which the majority of these have been filed. But a number that have been dismissed so far have been a little over 29,000 since the beginning of 2010. So that that tells you how many people have ponied up and wrote checks to these organizations. Another article over in Tech Dirt talking about how China doesn't want their people reading about how the Egyptian uprising is happening. So what they've been doing is China has not risked having this happen within their own country. So what they've been doing is they have been blocking any mention of Egypt. And I don't know how effective this is, but obviously China and other countries don't want the populace to get the idea that if they raise enough H-E-double-L that they will you know, get regime changes. So that hasn't happened, obviously, yet in Egypt, but we'll see. We'll see how long this is going to take. Hey, Google is hiring Android devs to close the apps gap. So apparently, they are hiring Android developers specifically to boost the number of apps available for the platform, and they think there's money to be made. So they are going to be working to close the gap between Android and iOS. So we'll see. Maybe we're going to have a bunch of cool apps coming from the developers at Google. I think we've all heard a little bit about the white iPhone and why the white iPhone was not launched. But Steve Wozniak basically has confirmed that he knows why the white iPhone was not launched and why it continues to be delayed is that apparently, the proximity sensor, which disables the touchscreen when the phone is held close to the face, is affected by the white case. Along with that, the camera's flashbulb, he said, leaks too much light. So these are a couple of the problems that have happened with the white iPhone. Of course, Steve Wozniak had had his iPhone 4 basically upgraded with the 17-year-old entrepreneur who made headlines back in November on getting some basically the shells and being able to do conversions for a price. So kind of interesting that there's a little more information coming out from Woz. Let's see here. How many of you are using the iPad for magazine subscriptions? You know, I've been watching the number of magazines and newspapers that are becoming available on the iPad and been checking out some of the offerings. And some of them are good, some of them are so-so. But there's an article on Fox talking about five things that people want from the iPad-only newspaper apps. Number one, they want innovative sharing. In other words, they want to be able to share information that they read with friends. They want deep link to other content. So if they talk about a specific website, send, you'll be able to have a link to it to get to. Clippable stories is where you basically can clip out stuff and store it somewhere separately. And, of course, video. Built in as well. And I think that pretty much sums it up. I think that would make some pretty good, a pretty good news app. And this is what Fox basically said and was going to make a good iPad-only newspaper. Now, The Daily is a newly launched website for iPad-only news services. So you can check that out, The Daily. And I don't have a link. Is there a link to that? It's called thedaily.com. So I'll have this link up in the show notes where you can check this out. All right, over on Digital Trends, they got some in-depth write-up on how Egyptians are getting on the internet in light of the crackdown. And as I said on the last show, you're definitely going to want to make sure that you keep an old modem laying around, keep it in a box, don't throw it out. I think I've thrown out, I think I have one U.S. robotics modem left, external. Yahoo is claiming that it's not going to ditch Flickr. There's been a lot of worry about folks that use Flickr that with them announcing recently shutdowns of some other sites. But Yahoo is saying they're committed to Flickr and that they are not going to be shutting it down. I don't know if that's going to help. You know, there's a lot of different sites out there that compete with Flickr now. And so, you know, I've only been using Flickr for probably 3 or 4 years. And the question I have for all of you, what are you guys using for photo sharing sites? What's the sites you're using today? And why? I'd love to hear your feedback on good alternatives to Flickr and why you like those services. So definitely drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com or voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. You know, last week Netflix came out with a list of ISPs that ranked fastest to really the slowest. And if you remember, as we talked about that, Clearwire was really the loser in that performance game. So Clearwire is has an interesting spin on this. Clearwire said it was jazzed about being the only wireless carrier on the list. And the company suggested that Netflix submitted an important context for its data and referred to reports by CNET and sister site ZDNet for the kind of information Netflix should have included, which was essentially that the performance of wireless networks can be affected by the distance between a customer and a cell tower. Well, I'm going to be the first one to tell you guys. I've got a, I got a Clearwire modem sitting right over here. It's got 5 bars on it. I can physically see the location of where the tower's at. And there's no way I could watch Netflix over that Clear modem. It just wouldn't work. Now, I want to update you guys on what's going on with my DSL connection. On a Sunday, yes, Sunday, Hawaiian Telecom knocks on the door. Said, hey, I'm here to fix your DSL. And I'm like, on a Sunday? You're working on a Sunday? You're kidding me. This is the same company that told me it would be February 3rd before someone showed up. Well, he went out to the box, made a few changes. We came in here. DSL looked like it was up, running. We, you know, kind of watched the performance of it. And I'll be doggone, it wasn't 2 hours he was gone before my DSL was dropping again. Only thing I think of is we've got a problem here in the house and I'm going to have to run some cables. So just something that's going to have to wait, but I'll do some more testing tomorrow when it's daylight. But just drives me crazy that I have an internet connection down, and really hurts me when I'm doing show night. All right, Netgear CEO, man, he went off the top rope slamming Steve Jobs. And I hope this doesn't come back to, bite this guy in the butt, because, you know, obviously Steve Jobs has got some medical issues. And whenever someone's sick and not feeling well, or, you know, you don't kick them while they're down. It's just not nice. But Netgear chairman and CEO Patrick Liu reportedly slammed him and basically saying that Apple would have to open its platform so it can compete with Google Android in the mobile space. He says, and this is the weird part. He says, and I thought that's kind of like, oh. He said, once Steve Jobs goes away, which is probably not far away, can you believe he said that? Then Apple will have to make a strategic decision on whether to open up the platform. Wow. Liu also criticized Jobs' ego, which he said led to the public trashing of Flash. He said, what's the reason for him to trash Flash? There's no other reason other than ego. And I was like, wow. I just can't believe that this guy said that. Now, I think we'd all like to see Apple be a little more open, but they've never been open. Under Steve Jobs' rule, Apple will remain a very tight-lipped, closed. They're going to tell you what they want you to know. And the message is going to stay very controlled. After all, why have you been paying, you know, two and three times the price for, and me too, for Mac gear? You know, look at this MacBook Pro I have here on the desk. I know what I paid for it. I know what I paid for my last PC, and I can guarantee you the PC does just as good of a job, but is a heck of a lot cheaper than this MacBook Pro. But it's all about the experience. It's about the prestige. It's about the, you know, they've sold Macs on emotion, not on, really not on, doggone it. Sorry, those watching on the video. They haven't sold it on basically being logical. You know, the reason to buy a MacBook Pro instead of buying, you know, an equivalent PC is much of that is emotion. And anyway, that's that. Okay, so let me go ahead here and move on to the next section here. Comcast has closed the book on the NBC deal, so Comcast now officially is the handlers. And Comcast owns 51% of NBC Universal. General Electric still owns 49%. The new company, which will be called NBC Universal, is valued at $37 billion. The FCC is moving to dismiss the net neutrality lawsuits. The FCC is basically saying that Verizon and MetroPCS that challenged the FCC new net neutrality regulations pulled the button too soon on their lawsuit. They said that the rules that govern when and how parties may challenge FCCs are clear, and the Verizon and the other company did not abide by those guidelines. I don't know how the FCC can say when you can sue us or not, but anyway, at least that's the take the FCC folks are saying. If you have an AdSense account, there's new standards that are out on user-generated content. Google is being very picky. They're saying, they sent a reminder today that contained really some pretty amazing statements. They said, you are responsible for ensuring that all of your content, including user-generated content such as forum posts, blog posts, or outside feeds, are in compliance with AdSense policies on any page or site in which you've enabled AdSense ads. So we know that Google won a legal battle Viacom, and basically saying, hey, we don't police our websites. And yet now Google wants its AdSense partners to police their own websites before they're putting AdSense ads on those. This is kind of curious language by Google. So I have the link up for you in the show notes. You guys excited about the LinkedIn IPO? Well, it's probably going to be the first of many social media sites that are going to be doing an initial public offering. They're expected to make around $171 million on this. The BBC is reporting that Microsoft has announced a warning over browser security flaw. So this is a critical warning, but unusually, they've already issued a patch. Now, this bug is potentially affects every user of the Internet Explorer with around 900 million people worldwide. They issued a patch to defend against the attacks and said it was working to develop a long-term fix. And there's basically a fix-it security patch. It's available for download. This is a support number on the Microsoft website. Of if you want to go to the actual the KB article, it's 250-1696, 250-1696, and you'll find the link there. It's basically over on Knowledge Base. Again, the link to the Knowledge Base article is 250-1696. Or you can just check this BBC article out with a direct link to it, okay? Along with that, apparently there's been a lot of the movies making it into the iTunes store that are not supposed to be there. Number of copyright infringement takedown notices have been issued by a lot of foreign film creators. A couple in Russia said, hey, you've got content up that's covered by copyright. You need to take those out, and Apple's complied. But it looks like a lot of stuff is starting to drift into iTunes. It's not supposed to be there. I want to talk about here just for a few minutes about the FBI executing 40 search warrants across the United States. Now, what they are doing is they're gathering evidence on the anonymous distributed denial of service attacks in defense of WikiLeaks last year. So apparently the FBI is going after those folks that targeted Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, and Amazon, and they've been kicking in doors. Here's the thing that I find interesting. Here was a posting on a forum. FBI, FBI, police, FBI, get your arms up and don't move them. Walk downstairs right now. Do not move your hands. And he goes on to say, there were two real guns pointed at me. Goes on to say, me and one cop car, girlfriend and the other. 3.5 hours later, they took all of his electronics. And this is being repeated over and over again. As I have said many times on this show, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. And if you're going to participate in a denial of service attack against Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, financial institutions, by the way, companies that have deep pockets and much more resources than any of us combined, if you're going to do something stupid like this, you better prepare to go to jail. So, and you better be prepared to have your door kicked in. And you better be prepared to have all your electronics taken. And, you know, ha, 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 I'm doing a denial of service attack in defense of WikiLeaks. And I bet you having all your computers gone would be, you know, that's got to be fun. And this guy goes on to say, I didn't have time to delete everything off my computer. They've got everything. I didn't consent to a search. You know, if the FBI is kicking your doors in and you're guilty and you don't want all your stuff taken away, you know what you got to do? You need to be like, stand up, say, it's that computer right there. You want the password? Because you cooperate, you might not go to jail. Because I guarantee you, the FBI is going to be able to unlock your computer. They're going to get that information. And then they're going to tell the court, this person did not cooperate. And then you're going to go to jail. Can't do the crime. Can't do the time. Don't do the crime. Oh, Canada, oh, Canada. Oh, my goodness. This is going to hurt. Starting on March 1st, Ontario tech-savvy members who subscribe to the 5-meg plan have a new usage cap of 25 gigs, but this is substantially down. In other words, if you subscribe to the 5-megabit plan, your usage cap is going down from 200 gigs to 25 gigs. Now, TechSavvy is basically saying, hey, we're repricing everything. And if you have an issue with that, you want to get more than the 200 gigs, you can pay them $1.90 per gig. Bottom line, no more unlimited surfing. TechSavvy users have bought the high-speed internet premium plan at $31.95. Now get 175 gigs less. And if you're out there surfing and getting stuff off of Netflix and different movies, oh, if you need protection, yes, you can buy blocks of bandwidth at a whopping $1.90 per gig. Whew, boy, that's a bargain, considering it probably costs them 2 or 3 cents. Insane. Totally insane. Now, along with that, a bunch of the ISPs are starting to become crybabies. ISPs want per gigabit payments from Netflix and YouTube. Incumbents ISPs are saying, you're costing us too much money to move this data through our network. And for our networks to stay viable and for the future of the internet to continue to move forward, internet companies want 3.7 cents per gigabyte of traffic moved through their network from YouTube and Netflix. I'm a customer. I pay for my internet service. I pay a lot of money for my internet service. Yet, these internet companies want Netflix and YouTube to pay for the data to go through. What happens when they don't pay it? Are they going to shut it down? Are they going to block it? Go ahead. Try. The genie is out of the bottle. What do you guys think? Think they're going to be effective with this? Ultimately, our prices are going to go up because that's what's going to happen. All right. If you're an Intel user or Intel stockholder, be prepared to be pummeled in the market tomorrow, or even maybe if it happened today, I don't know. And as a disclaimer, I do own stock in Intel. But Intel is recalling Sandy Bridge chipsets due to a SATA screw-up. So the 6 series chipset for use with Sandy Bridge processors released earlier this year has a pretty bad flaw that the company is recalling and replacing the affected parts. The chipset, which provides PCI Express, USB, and other connectivity to the processor, have a problem in their SATA controller, causing performance to degrade over time. So you're supposed to work with your dealer or whoever you bought the product from. So if you've taken delivery of any systems with the P67 and H67, again, P67 or H67 Cougar Point chipset. Those chipsets are good. Oh, no. These are the ones that need to be replaced, but they're okay for now. You can use them, but they're going to be back in production of the chipsets in February. So apologize for the confusion. I have the link up for you in the show notes. I had a number of articles tonight that I skipped that I didn't feel like, once I got to them, I didn't feel like going over. So I have those up in the show notes for you. Let me go ahead and get into the email comments. Actually, I had one voicemail comment, kind of a weird one. It only lasted 11 seconds, and I don't even fully get it, but let me go ahead and play it for you. All right, here we go. Now, let me turn the volume down so you don't get blasted here. Okay, let's try again.
Hey, Todd, man, I admire you. Oh. I don't know, but I admire this most of you.
All right, let's try this again. I don't know if you can hear.
Hey, Todd, man, I admire you and your channel, but I admire this most of you.
Oh, that was horrible. Anyway, somebody says, I admire you, and da-da-da, and then they said, hoo 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 hoo. So I guess it wasn't loud enough. I must have that jacked in wrong. So anyway, I'll just patch it in. Kind of weird. It was whatever it was. I'm glad you had a good time. All right, let me look at what we've got for email tonight. And what is today's date? Today is the 31st. I mean, anything after the 28th. All right, here we go. Got an email from Jason. He said, hey, Tom, not sure what your Canadian demographic is, but this can't help but this can't help you as online media. This is just about what we were just talking about, was the new bandwidth caps are coming on board. He says, the CRTC, Canada's incompetent version of the FCC, has ruled that Bell, our largest phone company, can force its resellers put caps on their service and make them pay ridiculous overcharges. My internet is going from $30 Canadian with a 200 gig cap and with the option for unlimited for $10 more to 25 gigs. Yes, 25 gigs a month and at $1.90 gig over for the same price. I had cut the cable years ago and got TV from broadcaster sites and podcasts. This is really going to hurt me and force me to rethink things, which is exactly what Bell wants. Also, Bell is the largest satellite TV and phone provider, but they also own partially own TV stations and newspapers. Welcome to the wonderful world of one company owning everything. Please tell any Canadian listeners to call, email, and write their MP, mayor, anyone that can help to get this overturned. Here's a great site covering the issue and helping to fight for us. It's called openmedia.ca. Again, openmedia.ca. And Jason is up there, one of our Canadian listeners. So definitely check this out. Man, I feel your pain. This is horrible. I just cannot even imagine. I really can't. This show wouldn't survive. It wouldn't. I got an email here from JP. He says, I don't know if you've seen this, but Chinese travelators, the wheelchairs, apparently up to snuff yet. And what is this? He links me to here. Video of a Chinese career, C-A-R-E-R, has been badly injured after trying to slow a patient wheelchair as it sped down a travelator in Jiangsu province. Oh, my goodness. They need some brakes on this thing. So I have a link up. You don't put wheelchairs on escalator? Oh, my gosh. I have this link up in the show notes for you. That was a good one. Thanks. I hope the guy was all right. Got an email here from Neer. He says, hey, Todd, I've been listening to GNC for the past several years and heard your promotion go to meeting service ever since. Up until now, I had no really use for it. Skype is good enough. However, recently, I scheduled a GoToMeeting conference with a U.S. partner. The audio quality was excellent. Unfortunately, in the middle, we lost internet connection for a while, so we reverted Skype. The audio quality was noticeably inferior. On the other hand, we could not see the video that was running on the other computer. Possibly the bandwidth was not wide enough. However, I did have a copy of the video preloaded on my end so we could run it simultaneously, time synchronized on both sides of the pond. That's just my 2 cents worth, Neer. Hey, Neer, thanks for that. I appreciate it. You know, what we've seen with playing video in GoToMeeting is that you're basically somehow it's frame capturing and sending, so you never get a full... We've had it so sometimes people see the full, you know, basically the full motion video, but I don't think it would work really good, especially over long distances, which, you know, obviously if you're talking with someone in the United States and you're in Israel, it's obviously a long haul, but thanks for your feedback on that. But I'm glad the GoToMeeting audio was better than what you had over Skype, and so thanks for that feedback. He also goes in to say, he says, what are your Android using listeners doing for podcatching? What is your recommendation? Up until now, I just use the Zoom Marketplace, but I'm looking for something that would download directly to my Android device. Google Listening and Beyond Pod seem to have a mind of their own, or maybe I have not mastered the art yet. Thanks, Neer. Neer, soon we'll have an Android app for you. But what is everyone's using right now with your Androids? What are you guys using for a podcasting app? Love to hear you guys' feedback. Okay, we're at the end of the show and right on time, because if I go much longer, we'll go long or too long. But thanks for the feedback. Keep the comments coming. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Obviously, I've been just hammering away at getting a lot of content up. And I want to thank our bloggers at Geek & Central for all the hard work that they've done in helping me get these things online. Their reward comes tomorrow when they start billing me for all their work for January. And I had to transfer a couple $1,000 into my PayPal account to make sure it all got paid for. So if you've been If you've enjoyed the CES content, this is a great time to make a donation to the show. And you'll find a one-time donation link on the insider page at geeknewscentral.com/insider. One-time donations definitely help. So if you've liked the coverage and want to make a little donation to the show, we definitely appreciate it. It will help the cash flow situation. But we've had so much stuff, I just had to, you know, basically turn it over to the writer's hands and help me get it all online, just because I'm still in beyond task saturation mode at this point. But I want to thank you all for your support of the show, and thank you for support of the sponsors as well. And it's been my pleasure to bring you this edition of the Geekness Central podcast, and I will not see you again until next Monday when I'm getting back from Chicago. If I get out, first of all, I got to get out. So if there's a show Thursday night, that means I didn't get out. But we'll see. And I hope all of you are safe during this storm and get dug out. And everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.